Okay, we have 20 minutes. Let's run through this Bible study real quick. Let's see your Bibles tonight. Word. Let's see your pens. Pens. Let's see your bulletins. Okay, let's go straight to Exodus chapter 35. We've been talking about stewardship. Did you guys have fun with that? Give and change of pace. Pray for that dude. We've been doing a series on stewardship, our responsibility and ability to manage what God has lent us, to manage it His way, and everything we have is His. Our own life, our friends, our family, our talents, our money, our ability to walk with Him, He has given to us. And we've been talking about stewardship, our responsibility to take guidance from God to manage those things His way that He may be glorified. Amen? And the whole purpose is that His glory would shine in our life. I played in a flag football game yesterday. I just joined a team, and I played my first game. I think it was our second game. And it was we're playing right now in a Christian league, and then after that league is the open league at Robb Field. And so we're playing Christian teams, and I'm assuming that all the other teams are Christian. So I went to the game yesterday. I saw the other team, you know, and it's, you know, it's tensions because these are boys you're going to play. And, you know, so I'm trying to be all friendly. How you doing? How you doing? What's your name? And, you know, and they're not wanting to talk. They're like, what's up? What's up? You know, and I was like, what church you from? And when I asked this first guy what church he was from, it dawned on me, this brother ain't saved, because it's like he got busted. Like he thought, man, am I supposed to be from a church to play in this league? Because he didn't say anything. He's like, well, he started, like, pointing to the other players. I just was asking, you know, and he just kind of walked away. And then I asked another guy, hey, man, what church you from? What church you go to? He says, I don't go to church, man. I live in Escondido. And I said, they got churches in Escondido. He said, yeah, and he ran away. But I'm out there in the field. They have no idea what I do, who, you know, that I'm a Christian, what I do. And it was like, you know what? It's me. God was saying, hey, man, just witness to him. Be a light out here. I want to be a light through you. God wants to be a light to all of you everywhere you go every day. And it was such a blessing to be out there to witness to these guys and then to beat them because we won. And then we prayed before the game and after the game. And after the game we prayed, they didn't want to pray. I mean, they kind of like, they want to hold hands. We hold hands. And, you know, the guy that lived in Escondido, he didn't want to hold my hand. I'll grab his hand. You know, and we prayed. And it's like, hey, man, my light. God wants to shine His light through you. So we're going to talk about these four things that's going to happen when people manage God's stuff properly. Trusted steward, trusted results. God does His part. He allows you to be saved. He equips you with gifts, power, vision, friends, support, things, money, resources. And then He says, now you do your part. You do your part. And when you do your part, when we do our part, these four things result. First thing, there is no limit on gifted workers. Look at Exodus 35, verse 10. It says, and all who are gifted artisans among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. Look at verse 25. All the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun of blue, purple, and scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom spun yarn and goat's hair. Look at verse 30. And Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of of the tribe of Judah. And He has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge and in all manner of work to design artistic works, to work in gold, silver, and bronze. God has given all these people supernatural abilities, and He stirred their heart, and He called them, and He gifted them to do specific things. He did the same thing here in this room. It's the fourth time today I'm preaching this. Same thing every service. He's gifted people, gifted people, gifted people, and stirred people's hearts. What is God stirring your heart to do? If you could do anything for God, dream. Dream. You might as well dream now. You're not going to have another chance after you die. Dream. You know, they interviewed 100 people over the age of 100, 100 centenarians, and they asked them, if you could do life all over again, what would you do? Number one, they said, we would dream and take more risks. That's what they said, that we would reflect more and invest in something that lived after them. But one of them said, we would take more risk. You know what? If you could do anything for God, what does God put on your heart that you sometimes think about? You think about, hey, man, I wish. You know what? Go do it. Find out how you're supposed to do it. Find out how you can get equipped. You want to be a preacher? Start preaching. You want to be a teacher? Start teaching. You want to be a prayer warrior? Start praying. What do you want to do? I heard one guy say, he said to me, I just heard it. If you want to do what Jesus did, do what Jesus did. Do what Jesus did. I was in a hospital the other day. Went to pray for somebody. Melissa Henning, who actually goes to church here, she has cancer. And I'm standing in the hallway after we visit her. And I'm in the hospital talking to another pastor. I'm thinking, man, there are people in here who need prayer. Why can't a Christian like you and me, just go to a hospital and pray for people? You don't even have to talk to them. You don't have to know them. Just walk down the hall and pray for this, pray for the rooms. Why can't you do that? You can. You can. And so he says here, listen, I've gifted all these people. We have Rockhead Training here in the church. And Rockhead Training is for all the people who want to get involved in leadership and volunteer. And part of the Rockhead Training, we have a shape test, which helps you find out what your gifts and calling are. Helps you find out what your abilities, your heart, your passion, your experience, your spiritual gifts, and say, this is how God shaped me. Because you know what? God has shaped every single one of you in a very specific way. I have a daughter. She's real good at art, drawing stuff, coordinating colors, designing. Incredibly talented. Whenever we want to do something in the house decoration-wise, she's included. And we ask her her opinion, and she goes, and she hits it on nail on the head, boom. When I get dressed, she checks me out every day. Okay. Okay, you can go now. She's 15 years old. She's got a gift. And God has made every single one of you with some specific gift. And so, you have to know it. And what happens is when God called these people, you have 2 million former slaves who just got free from slavery, all this Jewish nation. They're walking in the wilderness. And God says, okay, everybody who's gifted with this, come over here. Everybody who's gifted with this, come over here. All you ladies who are gifted with this, come over here. And you know what they did? They did it. They did it. There's never a shortage of people to do the work of the ministry when people allow God to direct them to do the work of the ministry. There's only a shortage when people are disobedient. There's only a shortage when people are disobedient. The Bible says the harvest is plentiful. In other words, the work is unbelievable, but the laborers are few. Why? Disobedience, lack of faith, fear. I'm not going to get paid enough money. I'm not going to be blessed. I don't want to be criticized. I may mess up. Whatever. It's all from the devil. It's all from the devil. Next thing there won't be a lack of is money. Look at verse chapter 35, verse 4. Chapter 35, verse 4. It says, Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. Take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart. Everybody say willing heart. Say willing heart. You know when the red bag goes by you and you're taking an offering? If you don't have a willing heart, don't give. Don't feel guilty. Just say, God, I'm not giving today. Okay. You ain't getting blessed today either. If you don't want to pray, don't pray. You ain't going to get blessed. If you don't want to read your Bible, don't read. You ain't going to learn. If you don't want to obey, don't obey. You ain't going to get blessed. Simple as that. It's up to you. God's not going to force you. Go ahead and do what you want to do. He has given you a free will. But here's what God says. If you're faithful, I'll bless you. If you pray, I'll answer. If you obey, I'll honor you. You pick it. It's whatever you want to do. So if you choose this to disobey, and you say, God, why did this happen to me? He goes, you didn't do what I said. You didn't do what I said. Leave me alone. Don't complain. You didn't do what I said. And I talk to people all the time who always want to rationalize their sin and blame God. Well, how come God don't bless me? I said, did you do this? No, but. Did you do this? No, but. You got too many buts in the way. Do what God said and then see what happens. Do what God said. What these people did, they had a willing heart. They said, you know what? We want to give because we believe in God. We believe that He, if you're obedient, He's going to bless you. The Bible says, you robbed me by not giving your tithes and offerings. You're not robbing God in the sense that He needs your $10, $20, $30 or whatever it is, $100, your 10%. Your 10% is not going to make or break the kingdom of God. It's your heart that He's looking for. He just knows it's tied to that money, honey. That's what He knows. It's not that He's saying, you're robbing me of the blessing, because if you willingly give that up, I can willingly bless that. That's what you're robbing Him of, that opportunity. And He knows that. And He wants you to, by faith, to obey Him. These people, the Bible says, of a willing heart they gave. Look what it says in verse 5. From among you, take from among you an offering. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord. Gold, silver, bronze, blue, purple, scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skin, dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light and spices for the anointing, oil for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in ephod in the breastplate. Look at chapter 35, verse 20. It says in verse 20, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses, and then everyone came whose heart was stirred. And everyone who on whose spirit was willing, they brought to the Lord an offering for the work of the tabernacle of the meeting, for all the service of the holy garments. They said, okay. Look at verse chapter 36, verse 3. This is going to be wild. Watch this. Chapter 36, verse 3. They received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the making of the sanctuary. So they continued bringing it to him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing the work of the sanctuary came from the work he was doing and spoke to Moses. And look what they said. The people bring much more than is enough for the service. We're getting too much stuff. Why? Because people were obedient. That's why. Everyone just did their little part. And look what it says in verse 6. Moses gave a command, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the whole camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. And the people were restrained from bringing the offering. Now, we will never have that problem here at the Rock. Why? Because there's always someone else we can help. I mean, if we ever have a building project, and I don't know how much it's going to be, millions of dollars, and then we got all the money, you know what? We're just going to go help somebody over here. There's a church in Chicago. They take an offering every Christmas to help inner city ministry, international ministry, and then there's three areas. And in one weekend, they took $1.5 million. They build towns in countries outside of the United States for the Lord. What a blessing. We're going to do a crusade in Canada this October. It's the last Friday in October. I don't know. I think it's the 26th or 28th in Calgary, if you know anybody in Calgary. And one of the goals of the fruit of that ministry is to take the money from the offering, provided we raise all the money before the crusade, and use it to go to a third world country to minister to orphans. And at the crusade, have on the screen the orphans that we're going to help so the kids in Canada can give an offering for those kids. Now, what a blessing for a kid in Canada to put $5 and go build an orphanage in Africa or Vietnam or Cambodia or Thailand. That's what happens. He says these people gave so much that they didn't need it anymore. Now they could have the overflow to go someplace else. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know what God loves when you write your check or put your money in the thing? He loves for you to go, oh, man, God, you hooked me up. Here you go. It's all my money. I love you so much. It's so good. Just take it all, take it all, take it all. He don't like people like this. Oh, man, he's just trying to get my money. Right. Just put it in zero here. Just put it in the thing, you know. Don't waste your time. It's okay. It really is. But you're just cheating yourself out of a blessing. These people, honestly, now I want to give you a little interesting insight. These people were slaves. Why don't you watch this? 2 million slaves. They have nothing. They're poor. God delivers them. They're walking in the wilderness. And God says, take from them gold, silver, and all this valuable stuff. Where'd they get it? They were slaves. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3. Exodus chapter 3. You have the slaves in Egypt. They have nothing. They're poor. And it says in verse 21, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed, but every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters, and show you shall plunder the Egyptians. Listen to this. Now, I want you to picture this. You imagine 2 million people who are slaves. They are dirt poor. Their ancestors were slaves. Everybody was slaves as far back as they can remember. They have nothing. God comes and delivers them through signs and wonders from the Egyptians. And before they go, God says, I want you to go to your neighbor and take their money. Take their gold, take their nose rings, pluck them right out their nose, their earrings off their ears, their necklace off their neck. Take their CDs, their VCRs, everything they got, you can take it. They go, yeah, man, I'm taking all this stuff. I don't like you anyway. Bam, take me that stuff. Bam, kick your kids, give me that stuff. And they're taking all the stuff, and they're like, that's right, our God's better than your God. And they're walking through the desert. They go through the Red Sea. They're taking all this gold stuff, and they finally got some riches. And then God says, okay. Now you're free, you got all this money, I want it back. Well, hello, God. I thought you were trying to help me out. I want it back. And they gave it back. They gave it back so much they couldn't take it anymore. Why? I give you three reasons. One, after carrying it all that time in the hot desert, I think they were just tired of, hey, Moses, take this stuff, it's too heavy, man. I don't carry this stuff around the desert. Two, they never got attached to it. They never got attached to it. They couldn't have been attached to it. They gave in abundance. And three, the third reason, I think they realized in the desert there was no use for it. They couldn't use it to buy anything. You know what? We have to realize that the riches on this earth are useless in the kingdom of God unless you're investing it in the kingdom of God. We worship stuff because we think it's important to really realize it ain't that important. As Michael just said, I mean, I would only guess he's made millions. I'm going to guess that, okay? I think that's pretty accurate. And what he's saying is that, hey, that stuff is not going to fill his heart. It's not going to fill my heart. So I'm not going to hold on to it like it's my dear life because it's not my dear life. And these people finally got money and wealth and or valuable things. And God says, I only gave it to you so you could build my temple. Really? And they gave it back with a willing heart. Because they said, you know, we've been poor our life and we realize this stuff's not going to make us happy anyway. Here you go. And he did it out of obedience. Third thing, no limit on ministry. Turn to Exodus chapter 18. Exodus 18. When Moses first left Egypt with the 2 million people, he was counseling everybody every day that needed counseling. He was sitting in line, people were lined up day and night, and Moses would sit there by himself and talk to everybody. And his father-in-law was watching this, and his father-in-law said, this is not good. Okay, now, I love this because this really helps us understand that everybody in ministry has a certain place and nobody, especially me, is supposed to do everything. I'm not supposed to do all the weddings. I'm not supposed to counsel everybody. I'm not supposed to teach every small group. I'm not supposed to teach every Bible study, every ministry. Can't. Impossible. But this right here, look what it says in verse 18, verse 17. Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you do is not good. Both you and these people who are with you will surely wear yourselves out, for this thing is too much for you, and you are not able to perform it." Praise God. And then look what it says. "Listen now to my voice, and I will give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people, that you may bring the difficulties to God, and you shall teach them the statutes and the laws, and show them the way in which they must walk, and the work they must do." It is so important for all of us to understand that if the work of the ministry in this church or any church is going to be done properly, it has to be a shared effort with all the people. Historically, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. 20% of the people give 80% of the money. 20% of the people do 80% of the praying. So 80% of the people are doing 20% of all the other stuff. That means 80% of the people need to step up. That's what that means. And so what happens is he's saying here, look, if there's a problem with not enough this, not enough that, it's because people aren't stepping up. He says, "Moses, you can't do that. You're going to die, and they're going to get less than quality service out of you because you're going to be so wore out. This is just going to be impossible." And look what it says. I mean, someone asked me today, "I want you to pray about discipling me." And I said, "Look, I'm going to tell you I'm going to pray about, but I'm going to tell you right now I'm not going to do it. I can't. I got a wife. I got three kids. I got a staff. I got no time. I'll pray about it. But I'm going to tell you now, it ain't going to happen. And I don't feel bad because, you know what? Whoo! I can say that. Because God says, you know what? I don't want you spending time with him. I want you spending time with me. I want you spending time with me." And you know what? Look what he says. Verse 21. "Moreover, you shall select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, fifties, and tens." We have a small, okay, let me, one more verse, two more verses. "And let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. And if you do this thing God so commands, then you'll be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace." You know what that means? That everybody will have their needs met when you set up leadership level. You do your thing, you stand before God, they bring the big matters to you, and you train these leaders, can handle all the other matters, and everybody else will be happy. The small group system we have here is a big part of that. We have 60 small groups around San Diego. We want to have 80 by July, 605 years. With about 10 people in each one, getting their needs met. Can you imagine if I said, "Okay, we're going to have 600 groups, and I'm going to do all of them"? It'd be idiotic. But you know what? When everybody has someone in the church, and you say, "Okay, this is my accountability partner," because in the small groups, everybody has to have a prayer partner. In the small groups, everybody prays for someone who's not saved to bring them in. They have a leader, an apprentice, a host home. That's three people per small group. If it's in someone else's house, that's 1,800 people just for the small groups. All those people doing ministry, growing, encouraging people, leading prayer. Can you imagine the ministry is going to happen? Wow! And I could be praying with God for direction on the next move. I could be praying for God for vision and the lesson to encourage all of us to keep going. Bow, 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 bow. That's when it happens. I mean, we're having a training in 2 weeks to be a small group facilitator. If you want to have a group in your house, if you want to be a facilitator and lead the discussions, or if you want to be an apprentice to learn how to lead the discussions, you need to go to the small group table and say, "Listen, I want to step up and I want to be involved in ministry." Step up. You may be a baby Christian. Open your house. Say, "Hey, they can come to my house. They can come to my house." The small group lessons are on the internet every day. No matter where you're at, just go get on the internet and look at the questions. And look how simple it is. Simple. Simple. And when that happens, All these people start getting blessed. This small group stuff happening all week long in this church. And I haven't been to one. Such a blessing. But I was laying in bed last night thinking, you know what? I'm going to go visit something anonymously. Just show up. And just sit in there. Ministry. Bam, bam, bam. And you know what? Look what it says in verse 23. If you do this, and God so commands, then you'll be able to perform and endure. You'll be able to last. And all the people will go to their place in peace. I used to feel so guilty taking a day off for years. I still feel guilty taking a day off. I can't take a day off, and it's really not a good thing. It's a bad thing. But even on my day off, I work. And it's bad. And I have to tell myself, okay, today, don't do any work. Don't think about, it's impossible. Like I always doodle something, I always got another idea, another. And you know what? If I am going to last, if you are going to last, you got to have a Sabbath. Got to have a day. You got to have time where you just get away from everything. As we said, if you do this, guess what? You'll be able to last. If you don't do this, you'll burn out and die. And you'll say it's in the name of God, and God will say, I ain't have nothing to do with that plan. You burnt yourself out because you did it. That was your problem. And that's what I am praying against. Turn to Exodus chapter 40, the last thing. There's no limit on workers. There's no limit on God's money. There's no limit on ministry, because ministry just explodes because people step up. And again, I want to encourage you women to go to the women's event, and you and everybody else, men and women, to sign up for the small group training. We need to multiply the small groups so we can minister to people and help people. The last thing is there's no limit on God's glory. And he raised up the court. Verse 33, chapter 40, last chapter. He raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar and hung the screen of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. You know what's amazing? All the people gave, all the people worked, they set up the thing. Why? For the glory of God. That's it. The glory of God was so thick, Moses couldn't even do work. He couldn't even do the ministry. Why? Because the ministry is not the point. God's the point. God is the point. Do the people at your job see God in you? I mean, do they see God, or do they just see a Christian robot or a rock head? You know, what do they see? What do they see? Church person. Or do they see Jesus? I mean, if they see Jesus, you know what they're going to say about you? Ain't something different about you. Something. You got a light. You got a lightness to you. You're so this or that. Let me tell you something. When the glory of God is in your life and you are aligned with God doing what you're supposed to do, it's all good. Even when bad stuff happens, you go, God's in that too. I was watching the Wheel of Fortune 2 days ago. My wife and kids watch it every day. And I watch it because they're watching it, but it's kind of a boring thing to me. But they love it. I need to get my wife in there. I want to lose some money, you know what I'm saying? She gets to stuff like this. I'm like, man, you need to go on that show. She's like, I know it. I know it. One letter comes up. I know it. And I'm like, they got all the letters except one vowel. And I'm like, I'm so stupid. I'm like, I don't get it. Tree, yeah, there it is. Anyway, make a long story short, in the show I watched yesterday, these two women, one had one money, and one woman could have had 75 grand, but she blew it. She was making me so mad. But she had 1,800 bucks. The lady from Oceanside had about 6 grand, and this dude had zero. He was happy too. He was just trying to play it off, but he was so embarrassed because he was getting nothing. So they do the last spin before the end, and they said, okay, one more spin, and Pat Sajak spins a thing, and they have one thing, and it was $5,000 a letter. So now anybody can win, because you get a couple letters, boom, you win. He won 24 grand. He was happy. He was kissing on Pat Sajak and all stuff, right? He says, you rock, to Pat Sajak. You rock, okay? So Pat's like... So they go over to the last puzzle, you know, where they got the, they take the little card off the wheel, and they got the little envelope, you don't know what's in it, and he's got to solve this one puzzle. So he takes a year and a day to pick the letters, and he gets like half the letters. And it's like so simple. Everybody knows what it is. And he's like, he don't get it. And everybody goes, you stupid. I mean, they were like, oh, man, how could you not got that? And then it came up. He's like, how could I have not got it? For 1 second, he was bummed. But then he said, I won 24 grand. I'm not worried about that. I won 24 grand. And then they opened the thing up, and he was like a Mitsubishi, a car or something, and he didn't get it. And he's like, I won 24 grand. He had the best attitude. He's like, I don't need that car. I'll buy a car. That's how, when you're walking with God and you're doing everything God, if you're managing your life God's way, you got what God wants you to have. You don't have what God don't want you to have. And when God wants you to get it, you get it. Why? Because you're going to listen to him and do what it takes to get it, or he's just going to hook you up. But the one thing you're always going to have is his peace, his glory. And so it don't matter. It don't matter. Oh, I'm not, you know, my measurements are on 32, 24, 32. So? I mean, hey, me and God, I don't care. I'm not 6'3", you know, handsome, lift weight. And so? It wasn't matter. Me and God. You know why Cain killed Abel? They were the Adam and Eve's kids. Because Cain had a problem with God. He didn't have a problem with Abel, his brother. He had a problem with God. And he can only take it out on his brother. If you're jealous of somebody today, it's because you and God ain't right. Ooh. Ooh, let's think about that for a minute. We got some jealous folks out here. I see some green faces right now. If you're envious of somebody, you're mad at somebody, it's because you and God ain't right. Because when you and God are right, people can do anything to you and don't bother you. They really can. This guy over here can get millions and millions and millions of dollars for doing half the work you did, and it don't bother. Now, that's a lot of right going on between you and God. But still, you need to just focus on this. And when God has all your life in order where he wants, your church time, your prayer time, your service time, your giving time, your reading time, your studying time, when he's got all that organized his way, not your way, and guess what? God don't want your input. You have no input God's worth listening to. You have no opinion worth God listening to. Did you know that? Did you know that God doesn't want your opinion? Maybe you didn't know that. Don't even think about it. When God tells you to do something, say, hey, God, I got an idea. Well, go ahead. I ain't going to listen, but go ahead. God doesn't need your opinion. So when God tells you to do this, yes, sir. Do this, yes, sir. Do this, yes, sir. When your life is all about yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, guess what? Everything all of a sudden starts to happen freaky deaky good. You're like, man, how come I'm getting blessed? And if you ever see someone's blessed, you ever see someone's life is just supernatural, promise you they're doing something right behind closed doors. Whew. Something right's happening. And you see someone's life is kind of something wrong happening. And we all know people whose life is always they always need a job. They always never got no money. They always complain about this. I promise you, those people are not right with God. Promise you. Because I know people with no money and no job that are just blessed. But they're in transition. But they're blessed. They may not have any money, but they're going to get another job. But they're happy. Why? Because they're giving their money away. Because their life is right with God. But the people who always whine and complain about this, whine, they ain't right with God. They ain't right with God. Let me tell you something. Let God manage your life. Save yourself the headache. Save yourself the headache. Amen? Before we pray, I think I got one thing to say. When you leave here, I want you to just if you will, say hello to somebody you don't know and say, what is your name? And ask them, how are you doing with the Lord? This church has grown in many different ways. And many people come here and they say, well, I just go to another church by come Sunday night. And that's fine. That's up to you. I was in the hospital the other day and these two people walked by me. They were young, 20-something-year-old people. And they said, Miles, how you doing? We come see you every Sunday. And I said, do you come see me or is it your church? They said, oh, it's our church. And that is a big difference. Because if it's your church, that means we've all made a covenant with each other to be a family. If you're visiting, that's fine. You're a visitor. But there is a difference. But for all of us who say this is our church, we are a family, brothers and sisters. And with that comes accountability to each other. And part of that is just to get to know each other. Now, some people, they don't, you know, when we take the offering, people say, well, if you're a visitor, don't feel obligated to give. Well, some of y'all are on the 5-year visitor plan. You know what I'm saying? You need to move out of visitorship into membership. But that's really a weak excuse. But my point is this. When you leave here and when you come every week, I want you to tell yourself, you know what, this is my family. These are the people that God has placed me to be with so I can grow. And all that growing is not going to come from the mouth of what Miles says. It's going to come from the relationships you make here. And when you go to the small group, it's going to come from that. This is only one part of it. If you're visiting, please be committed to wherever you're visiting from. If you don't have a church, pick one. Don't visit. Matter of fact, this guy I was talking to the other day who has all these problems. I said, listen, he says, I said, where do you go to church? When he was telling me about his issues. He said, well, I go here. I said, stop. Pick one and go there. Well, they got, no. Don't worry about the issues. You got the issues. Pick one and go there. There's always going to be issues with everybody. Everybody's a sinner and nobody's perfect. Get over it. Get over it. You're not going to find the perfect church. You're not going to find the perfect pastor. You're not going to find the perfect anything except the perfect God. So pick one and go there. If this is where you're going to be, let's take it to another level and start to get to know each other. So when you come here, let me tell you something. I can't go anywhere without being looked at. Look, I'm over there. What's he doing? Okay. It's funny because I see people in the store on the gas station. And I got to, you know, I don't have a problem because I'm not out there trying to smoke weed behind a tree or nothing, you know. So it's not a big deal. But you know what? It always reminds me, be careful. You know, because if I'm irritable, which I get irritable, if I'm tired, which I get tired, if I'm cranky, which I get cranky, and someone, at the wrong time, and I'm like, oh, there we go. I knew he was a hypocrite. Well, you know, hey. I got to be perfect all the time because people are looking for stuff. I have people on my staff, and this happens to me too, but I have people on my staff. When we hire people, we tell them, look, people are going to ask you all kind of questions about me, my family, and the church and everything, and people are going to judge you. And I have people on staff, they walk through the lobby, and they look in a direction, and they have a friend in the path of where they looked, and they don't see the friend, and they don't say hi. And they go, you know, you look right at me and didn't say hi. What's wrong with you? Happens all the time. So when I walk, I gotta, oh, how you doing? For real. Because if I walk by and look like that, and my eye goes by, oh, he didn't even say hi to me. But I'm not complaining. All I'm saying is this. When you get to know people, guess what? Now you get in a fishbowl. And now you're at the mall yelling at somebody, arguing with the lady because she's trying to rip you off and not give you a sale price. And then the priest, where do you go to church? I go to the Rock. Like that means now you're right, right? Well, so do I. You do? Yeah, matter of fact, I saw you there last week. You had that same short skirt on. What's up with that? You know what? You start to get accountability to people, and the other flip side is true, too. You walk into a place, and they go, you go to the Rock, don't you? Yeah, I go to the Rock. Were you in Rockhead training? Yeah. Oh, man. What do you need? Well, I'm looking for this dress, and it's not on the rack. You know, we got one in the back. And it's just a little reject one, but I'll show you how to fix that. We can give you a little price. All I'm saying is this. Get to know people. Extend your family. extend to people who will pray for you and encourage you, look out for you, because the devil got his family. They all know each other, and they're coordinated, and they hate you. I was on the Peter Jennings show years ago, and I'll end with this story. I know it's getting late. I was on the Peter Jennings show on AIDS. It was me, Dr. Dobson, and he was only the Christian I knew about. It was about 100 people, live, 90 minutes, town meeting, and they had me in the section with a lot of homosexuals. They had him in a section with some other people in plan. It was just the world. Ugh. And so I was up there. They gave 8 of us microphones. They gave me one. Big mistake. And there was 100 people in the room. And we all had a time. They were going to ask us a question. But because I had a mic and it was on, if I spoke, they had to listen because it was live. You know, it was on town meetings with Peter Jennings, right? So they're up there talking. And 2 or 3 times, I just butted in this conversation. And started da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And Peter had a look. Oh, yes, Mr. McPherson, you know, because it was live. And he couldn't just ignore me. And I was like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So after the show was over, I got surrounded by people to argue with me and tell me what kind of idiot I was. They were all different ethnic groups, all different genders, male, female, and other. They were all different organizations. The one thing they had in common, they did not love God. They did not love God. My point is this. The devil, he got all his troops. And when he can call them together, they come together like that. And I was in the middle. They were cursing me up and down for an hour. I didn't back down. I was like, bam, 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 for an hour. I'm not lying. I was talking to this person, that person, all about sexual purity and da-da-da, and they had to kick us out, the studio. And the one thing I remembered about that was the devil got his boys together and they ganged up on me. You don't think he's doing that to you every day? Get some Christian people in your life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love. And I do pray that we would bond together and look after each other and pray for each other and encourage each other. And I pray, Lord, that this service and these services wouldn't be all people look for to get fed, to get encouraged. I pray they would have people in their life every day of the week that they can talk to and pray with and be prayed for by. And I pray even walking out of here, they just take a minute, just 1 minute, 1 60-second slot of their life to get to know one person here that they don't know. Lord, I pray we let you manage our life. May we trust you with everything we have. In Jesus' name, amen. See you guys next week. Make a friend. God bless you.